Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Vivira Beach with Ann McNeil, Dan Calloway, and Steve White. Our special guest today is Pastor Tony Drayton. I am Vivira Beach. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business and also communities as a builder. But after reading the book, Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am thoroughly convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we are seeking are found within us in our own hometown from whence we come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Our vision is to shed a brighter light on the wonderful, smart, talented individuals from our great city. Our special guest today, Dr. Drayton, has pastored St. James Church of Riviera Beach, Florida for over 27 years, and he's the second pastor in the church's history. But he also serves the city of Riviera Beach as co-chair of the Commission on Social Justice, and he's involved in many, 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 many other activities in our great community. And so as we were preparing for the show, Dan Calloway reminded us, I can, I must, I will take care of the least, the lost, and the unconcerned in our special city. And God has promised us that if we lean on him, he will not let us fall. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good afternoon, and happy Mother's Day to you and all our listening audience.
Thank you.
Likewise, happy Mother's Day. Good evening.
Dr. Drayton?
Yes.
My friend, we are very pleased to have you as our guest today. I need you to give us a short bio on you. Of course, I know you wasn't born and reared in Riviera, but you just as much a Rivieran as anyone else. Would you give us that?
I was born and grew up in a little small town called Indiantown, Florida, not too far from here. But to me, and coming up, it might as well have been across the other side of the world. I only had eight streets coming up, two brothers and one sister, and I'm the oldest. And coming to Riviera Beach was like coming to New York for us. It was a journey. And I remember coming over and being in awe of the buildings. And to me, they were equated as high rises. But we came up with a culture and a system that we looked out for each other. And what you said earlier, looking out for the least, the lost, the left out, and the marginalized, was something that my parents epitomized. They led by example. I can remember when growing up there, when they were hard workers, and so I know what it means to work hard. I know what it means to travel the halls of academia. I know what it is to seek to handle finances in an appropriate way, because that way was modeled. And I was truly fortunate to be in such a dilapidated and disenfranchised, at that time, one of the most disenfranchised towns or cities that you could travel through. And just yesterday I was over there, and I don't think it's changed a whole lot. But we learned that we were exposed to giving back and trying to make a difference. And went away to college briefly, in the Carolinas, studied psychology, and was in law school, came out there, and ended up getting into divinity school, and basically doing a project at Colgate with Chester Crozier Divinity School in New York, and being exposed to social justice and the social gospel. I just took a belief that that's what we're called to do as leaders, and particularly in my context as a pastor, is to seek to bring positive, transformative changes to make us whole in our community. And I believe that many leaders, whatever context that they're leading in. I'll look at this ability of a city, look to have a healthy city, look to have a place that one can grow and develop and accrete to what God has intended for each of us to be. And I do believe in what I do, created in this image. And so that's what brings me to the work, and a sense of justice and equality, again, providing space for others to walk in those pathways.
That's beautiful. I'd rather leave off the doctor because you earned that today. I want to make sure I ask questions more directly as the shepherd of St. James. I think that anyone who take up the cross to be a bishop or a minister, whatever you call it in the clergy, that is the toughest or the hardest job in these United States. No job, even the president of the United States, is more important than an ordained minister because you were called by God. See, God didn't call presidents. We voted them in there. But when you were called by God, you got to work with all kind of people. Now, I need to ask you, knowing that I was born in Riviera, right on Pierce Avenue, and being a member of Mount Holly for the last 67, going on 68 years, and I know the members there, and I know the members at your church, and we have interacted with our churches, and I've been a guest of your church numerous of times, and I consider you one of the top ministers that ever graced the pulpit in Riviera, Palm Beach County. I can't talk about all the other places in the world, but I can talk about that. You are helping with the feeding program. You got a tutorial program. What other programs that you got you putting on in the church with your parishioners?
Well, I'm humble with you saying that, but I look at the people who are doing the work, and I always tell a person who comes out that I've been fortunate and blessed to have a great group of people who has taken what the previous pastor has espoused and preached, that we ought to be the light of the community, at least try to be there. There are no perfect systems, no perfect people, no perfect institutions, pastors, and the like. We're not. We all strive. It's by the grace of God. But we tried to have our focus on our youth. We had to pick an area that we want to cut our teeth in. And our jam ministry, Jesus as my motivator, has been the pathway to allow us to be involved in the life of the community and through our youth. And but we start with the mantra that whatever we do is open to the community. It's not just the members of St. James. If you're in the community, that's one of the things that drives us. Give an example. We entertained when I first got there of having a school, and the only reason that we did not have a school because it's in the proximity to Greater Bethel. And so collectively we decided not to do that. But for the first 10 years until we had retardation financially, we supported that school every year, giving scholarships and things like that to help people attend the school who did not have one of their kids to go. So I think it's a community effort that we tried to engage in, but yet do our own little piece. When Jam meets, you know, at particular activities there, age-appropriate activities, we give mentors there, and we get the leadership for mentoring groups. We have a mentoring group, male and female mentoring group, and we're proud to say that we've seen, we had a guest once, and the guest said, we didn't realize so many youth were coming through this church and what they were doing once they left this church. And that's a silent success there that we keep beginning to pay dividends. We got those who's coming through that military leaders, those who are coming through that's in high medical fields, those who are coming through that's in, that are entrepreneurs at a high level. So that's where our focus has been with that jam. And we've had a strong health initiative through our HIV/AIDS ministry called Order My Step, where we've tested. And I believe that health issues are an indicator, how we deal with health when you're dealing with black and brown people is an indicator of the health in this and the level of systemic racism that we find in every field and how that's played out. So we cut our teeth with a lot of HIV/AIDS work. And, of course, like everything else, some things seem to have a shelf life, but we're still doing the educating, we're still doing the counseling, we're still doing the testing like that. So we just try to find ways to be in the community in a way that, to us, is a natural way and things that we should be doing.
Well, let me bring this up before I have Ann ask a question, because there's a tremendous question she needs to ask. I made the statement before you got on and I was talking to Ann, and because you have to be very aggressive and very smart to deal in her arena. We're going to go back and set the plan, and you on a committee when we go with this racial committee. We'll talk about that at the end. We lost a lot of our black business that a lot of us was reared up with, because when integration came in, we forgot to keep the trend that kept the black race alive, and we're going to go back, because I'm told they're going to open up North Tech right there on Garden Road where it used to be. And there are certain things that we're going to, like horticulture, painting. I talked to Ezra Saffold about this years ago, and he brought up we should be owning our own paint company. And Ann can attest to this. All this building, somebody got to buy the paint and all the things that go along with that. When do we get something like that? But we need to be taught. We got to give kids coming out of school that can't afford or don't want to go to a four-year or two-year or college like that, put them in a trade school. And what we're going to do, because Elsa had been tinkling with that, but we're going to make a concerted effort to have our hand into 90% of the things that people go into business and make money. And maybe we can draw and keep a lot of our young people coming out of school here locally. What do you think about that?
Mr. Calloway, I just told a friend of mine, a young guy, very progressive, that a lot of times what happens in cities, and I see this in Riviera Beach and other work that I do, that there's not enough dialogue going on. We have one group on the right with a few people attempting to do something, another group on the left with a few people trying to do something, and on the east and west side. So they're fragments, and everyone has the same goals, want the same pathway, and there's no dialogue with the ones on the right and the left of them. No, there's another group that we can connect with and not do the work in isolation. And we're all stronger together. I'm really, really just beginning to discover that. And these types of efforts like you're talking about, for example, and I'm talking to myself as well, I'm involved right now with the project, getting it ready to actually make presentation to do exactly what you're talking about. But here's the deal. And I take the blame. We haven't talked about that. You don't know that. I don't know what's happening on the other side. And I'm not ready to divulge it, but I will divulge it because I'm going to have to. But to bring those kind of concerted efforts into our city, we could benefit for it. I think it's a stronger presentation. We'll have community persons, a cross-section of our community, approaching individuals and say, hey, let's bring some resources to our city. We have a cross-sampling of our city here, and we're behind this here. Let's connect. Let's make this work out, as opposed to you going, me going, another group going. Well, this dialogue can get us on the same page and look for the same pathways, because we want the same outcome and the same deliverables. But we're fragmented. too many times.
That is beautiful. And
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things we talked about in regards to this conversation about trade and technical education, Mr. Calabrese was sharing about the idea of Dr. Robinson and some others at the school board of Palm Beach County considering the reopening of North Tech. And I raised my hand and I said, I will become the poster child for North Technical, you know, trade school, because as the first black female contractor operating at the level that we do from Riviera Beach, born and raised in Riviera Beach, and went to Florida Memorial, got an undergraduate degree in accounting while working on my master's degree and while working at Pratt & Whitney, I went to North Tech. I went to North Tech to learn a trade in construction, and all my friends laughed at me in the 70s. But who's laughing now? And so my point is exactly what Dr. Drayton is saying. I just was graced and blessed by the grace of God to win a project, which we can now talk about since the commission has voted. But we proposed my company, MCO Construction, along with Kaufman Lynn, along with Mr. Brown, who we're going to have on the show, Brown Electric. We proposed to do a public-private partnership with the city of Riviera Beach to build the fire station on in Riviera Beach. But exactly what Dr. Drayton is talking about, right hand don't know what the left hand is doing. And Dr. Drayton, you did not realize that as a part of our program, we proposed to the city to do a community benefits program, which is going to end up in a couple of $100,000 that we're giving back through training and classes. But the first thing I have on my plan to do is to bring all those people you're talking about, Dr. Drayton, together in a conversation in a central place. And we're in the process right now of identifying who those people are, because exactly what you're saying, a lot of people in the city are providing the same services and not talking to a lot of other people providing the same services, when in fact we can use economies of scale and what I like to call intelligence gathering, and not duplicate each other but strengthen each other.
Exactly.
So this is a phenomenal yes, sir. And but I also contend too, like we were discussing in preparation for the show, you know, we can talk about jobs. Jobs are great. We've all had them and have them. But when you're talking about the youth, when you can show a youth, first of all, let me say this, and I'm also an investor, and my daughter has branded herself as the baby billionaire. We're hosting a program. I totally forgot about this prior to the show. But investment education, she started investing at age 7 and branded herself by age 15 as the baby billionaire, hit 6 figures before the age of 30, and is on track to hit 7 figures before the age of 40 from investing. Investing. She makes minimum wage, but she teaches investment education. So we're hosting a program next Saturday, and I'll put that information in the public domain. You can just go to betterinvesting.org.
Ms. Reneal.
Eventbrite. Yes.
Ms. Reneal.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
I know I cut you off there. I want to applaud you, because that's one of the things that we do at St. James. We have a financial guy, and we start people investing. My five-year-old been investing for 2 years. My teenage granddaughter, and we have persons on schedule. We know they're going to be millionaires, but it's a part
they're already
of what we
millionaires
do because
I'll
we realize the pressure
yes
of that.
Well, I would tell you, Dr. Aiden, we didn't talk about this before the show, so everybody who's listening
no,
to this live and later on in the future. But let me say this: this is a blessing from God, and there's no better gift that a mother and a grandmother or a father can give their children than the power of investing and learning how to invest. But investment education, so what I'm going to do when we get off the show, I will connect with you. We're in the process.
Okay.
This is our second year. We do a stock market game all across the United States every summer. So I'll get with you about that. And Dan Calloway, I'll
great
get with you about our youth, you know, girls to women and boys to men. I'll get with you about that, and I'll share with you what we're doing next Saturday. But let me say this. My youngest daughter started learning how to analyze stocks because I got taken early in my life, gave somebody my savings, and did not know that I should have gotten the statement, all this stuff. But I look at it as a blessing in disguise, because I had to say to myself, if I don't know about investing to know that I should have gotten this and I should have got that and I should have done this, should have done that. I said, and I have two businesses at the time. Now I have five businesses. But also, what about the people just like me that don't know? And then we became volunteers. Let me say it again. Volunteers. We don't get paid. We don't sell stocks. We don't do anything but teach. And every single Wednesday, we host a show called Hashtag My Investing Story. And we have people from all over the world that we interview, just regular people that come on and share their story. And when I tell you there are a lot of blacks who are millionaires, they don't have businesses. Let me say it again. They're just regular people who invest $20 a month. Did I say a month? $20 a month over 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they're sitting on not six figures, but seven figures from the power of compound interest. That's the power of education. That's the power of being financially empowered. That's the power of not being financially literate. We don't even teach financial literacy. We teach financial empowerment. And that's why on the 15th of May, we're hosting a program on Zoom called Financial Empowerment. And anybody listening can go to, you can go to YouTube. I mean, go you can go to Google and just Google Financial Empowerment Seminar. Or you can Google my name or her name, Iona McNeil. That's not the... That was not the topic of the program today, but my point is this. We can teach these kids a lot of things, but if we don't teach them how to become financially educated, all of the rest of the stuff is not going to matter because they will not see something larger than themselves.
Amen.
And so anyway, I am just very excited about what you're doing, Dr. Drayton, and being able to be here on this program with us. We will definitely want to have you back so we can, like Mr. Calloway is talking about, so we can talk about specific programs. But also we want to let the world know that they can get involved with what's going on and they don't have to just sit on the sideline because, again, in Indiantown, I can relate to what you're saying because, again, we all, Riviera Beach was our Indiantown experience.
That is true.
So I'm going to turn this back over to the two of you.
Ms.
Yes,
Neal.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, I'm going to put my closure hat on that. One of the things that I've discovered is that, and this not all the time, it is part of the church for our pastors part as well, how can we leverage or get this into, I'm not saying that it's not in the community, but how can we bring this to the places of faith, this kind of training, this kind of exposure? Because, I'm going to be real transparent with you. A lot of times, clergy, and sometimes myself, more times myself, we desire to have the imagination to go where you're going. But sometimes we struggle to find the pathway or the tool. So I guess my question would be, has always been, how do we bring this to i.e. the people, i.e. the places of faith? Can we find some kind of way to say, hey, we can bring it to you, okay? We're not responsible whether you accept it, but we want to bring it into the culture of the church, into the culture of the places of faith. Make it easily accessible, everything you're talking about. Because I'm right with you 100%.
Can I just be brutally honest?
Yes, I need to be honest. Yes.
Okay. Yes, okay, all right. So, when we fly on an airplane, one of the first thing that stewardess says when they're going through the exercises before they take off, they said, they tell us to take the mask and do what with it if we are in an emergency?
Put it on yourself first.
Put it on yourself first.
On yourself first, right.
Hold up now. One of the hardest things for me as a business person and as a mom and as a wife that I had to admit is that I did not know what I did not know. And so I had to take that mask called financial education and put it on myself first. And I had no idea of where to go and what to do. You see, because I couldn't get it from church. My pastor didn't know and he wasn't teaching it. I couldn't get it from my friends. They didn't know that they did not know. I couldn't get it from my business associations because that's not what they were about. So I did not know where to go and get the financial information. And so the other place we all go is to the library. And so I heard about a book called The Millionaire Next Door. And as I was reading that book, it talked about a group of ladies. Now I'm answering your question, okay? It talked about a group of ladies who had started an investment club, and they beat the stock market. And this group of ladies, they were involved in an organization called the National Association of Investment Corporation. And that not-for-profit organization was teaching investment education. You see, I go back to the Word of God, and my mom was a holiness minister, Alberta Carr, right there from Riviera Beach. And I know this is Mother's Day, and I'm honoring her with giving her praise, honor, and glory, because as a Baptist minister, she taught me the Word, but I did not know how to live the Word. My father was a sharecropper. He was, you know, he was a laborer. He was a businessman, and he taught me business just by watching him sell fruit on, you know, on the weekends, and made my brother in my car that I go out with him on the back of his truck and sell fruit and vegetables. And so my life merged between the two of them. What am I saying? They didn't know anything about saving and investing, so they couldn't teach me that. But once I got involved with reading, you see, how do I live a word that I don't know if I don't read the Word of God? When the Word of God tells me to study to show myself approved in Timothy, I always thought it was just the Word of God. So what happens in our churches is that we teach the Word of God only to study and show yourself approved there, but we don't teach necessarily what in the real, and that's what we're talking about here today. So I had to take that principle from Timothy to study investing, to show myself approved, so I wouldn't get taken again with all my life savings, gave it to somebody, and I didn't know that they didn't know what they were doing just because they looked like me and say they were financial advisors. I love financial advisors. But my point is this. As soon as I started learning about investment clubs, I went to my pastor. I'm not going to call his name on the air. But I went to my pastor and I said, you know, guess what? We can be free as a church if we teach investment club and investment education and teach people when they tie to the church, take a little something, $20, and tie it to yourself and take another $20 and invest it through education. And so we started one investment club, and in our church we ended up starting almost 20 different investment clubs in the church. And so that is what I think. To come back to your question, I think that as a pastor, we have to put that mask on first, because when we put that mask on first, which is what you're doing in your church, and then we become investors ourselves and we get involved with investment clubs, and we will know the benefit and the value of teaching that investment empowerment information. And I'm going to call the website again, betterinvesting.org. So anybody who's listening to this can go to betterinvesting.org. It's a not-for-profit organization. And right now they have a 90-day free membership on the front page of the website all the way down to the bottom. And I would tell you, next to my salvation and my family, is one of the best things that I have ever done in my life, because with five businesses, I've never borrowed any money. And we've done millions of dollars in the business, but I've been able to finance everything that I do from borrowing money back for myself. So I've never had to go outside and do that. So my point is that, and I will get with you off the show, Dr. Greg Drayton, and I will volunteer to help support what you're doing in terms of helping you with your church. And I think that we start with our mask on first, and we start with where you are, and we grow that out into the community.
And Doc, I need to say this because I don't know about the investment. Once upon a time, I did have a stockbroker who handled things like that, but I never thought of it like you're teaching me something right now. Now, I've already made up my mind that to go back to my board of directors of the Youth Recreation. What organization, with all the amount of people that we have and how we involve with everything, and we're not teaching the young people how to be millionaires through investment?
Exactly.
And put money away. That's one of the most important things. I remember as a boy, my mother and father, we didn't have a bank. We had to go up in Lake Park and go to the post office. Black people in Riviera had to go to the post office and kept the money wrapped in a handkerchief under the mattress. We need to, that'll be one of the number one things in September. when I sat with the two of you away from the phone here and draw up a plan, I can get the kids. I can get parents with the grandkids and to invest a certain amount of money a month. But I need somebody who know the groundwork, the fundamentals, what are we doing and how to do it and how to protect ourselves. That's one of the things we'll put in with the North Tech. But we can start that before we get on North Tech, because I can get a place and have a financier or whatever you call it, who's in charge, and put it in there and get on that. That is important.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Am I getting a yes from the two of you who know something about that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'll do that for kids. You can use our facility anytime you want to. We have one room. For the community, it's open. You can use that place anytime you want to.
Well, I really appreciate that because of, the Youth Recreation was born right in Riviera, right over at Goodmark Park, right on between 35th and 36th Street, between O and R. And it's not too far from your church and not too far from where Ann was playing in the day over there, shooting marbles with her brother.
Yeah.
But that is very important because without funds, see, the more they make, the more they can give back to the least, the lost, and the left out. And that's what we need to do.
And they'll teach it, too.
Pastor? I need to ask you another question, and this is very important. I'm 3/4 way home. You and I talked a little bit about it when we met with when you brought me home 2 weeks ago. You have two white friends as close as brothers. One of them is a former assistant chief of Riviera, David Harris, and he's like a son of mine, and Dr. Stanton. I've already talked to Dr. Botel, and she's picking eight people, and I'm going to bring eight, and one of them are you. And when I tell you, we're going to start a organization to try to eliminate racism. We're going to be the beacon of light right in Riviera for Palm Beach County, for the state of Florida, and for the whole country. We'll get a lot of public acclaim behind that. We got to stand together because one day we're going to have a riot, a burning, somebody going to do something dumb, and everybody going up and down the street. But when it happened, it'll be more like in Riviera. You didn't see them burn nothing in Riviera. You didn't see them go downtown and act up like they did on Clematis because we had been working around the clock of trying to eliminate that. And we've done a fairly good job, but not as well as we will do, because we're gonna have an organization. I'm chairing that, and I know you'll be with me, some other people. We're gonna meet and put it together, because of, we all are God's children. You know, we made it in His image. We can't go out here and thinking because of the color of our skin make us not brothers and sisters. But we got to do that. If there's nothing else, we got to start that. And therefore, when we put on these other things, a lot of times, see, a lot of blacks think we can do everything by ourselves. A lot of whites think you can't do that. You got to be like the piano keyboard, the white and black keys playing together. Now, the black keys can play and the white keys can play. But if you put them together, you'll bell out a beautiful symphony. So that's why we got to do that, only because we all are God's children, and I can't say that any better. So, and I know you are busy, but I would love for you to be one of the people that I put in from the blacks to deal with the whites when we go and do something about racism. I would love that.
Absolutely. Count me in. Count me in. I bought my freedom a long time ago.
Well, that's beautiful. That's That's beautiful. What do you think about it, Doc?
I always call me in because I've come to discover that there's no systems or structure, even finances, where racism or the tenets of racism and explicit bias does not exist. I'm doing something financially now, and I, the other day I woke up, I looked at my wife, and I said, I think there's some racism in what we're doing. I said, everything is in order. Everything financially is there. It's not the money. It's not the credit. It's not anything else. But every time we look around, there's always something that's suspicious. Matter of fact, I even told Faith and Action, a big group that deals with this, thought that I'm being subjected to it, and they concluded that you probably are. So everything we've spoken about, everything. I remember a prominent lawyer I was with. They wanted him to move. Each of you know him, so I'm not going to call his name. They wanted him to move. He bought this house, paid cash for it. He got jets and planes and everything, okay? And they wanted him to move out of the neighborhood. He moved. But move to another place in the neighborhood, they got so upset. So it doesn't matter what the wealth level is, rich, wealthy, whatever, racism is real. So anything we can do to ameliorate it, I'm fine with it.
Well, I know as a group, and if we always follow, let God lead us, and we stay prayed up, we owe that to the people behind us. There's a book, The Bridge Builder. If you read, well, it's not a book, it's a poem, the poem of The Bridge Builder. And you need to get that poem and just read it. And the old man went across this chasm, rough stuff to going on the other side. The water, the jagged rocks was there. And he finally, after months, he got over. And there was another old man over there when he got over there, just two of them over there. And then he started building a bridge. And the man said, why would you build that bridge? Because you'll never be able to go back across. He said, I'm not building the bridge for me to go back across. I'm building the bridge for the young people to come over across where I am. See, that's the idea we need to be. Everything we do, we need to be building bridges to connect the old people with the young people. Because of the, Jesus took the old man because he knew the road. And he took the young man because he could carry the load. We must do that. Or else our living will not be in vain. I'm finished, but I appreciate the listening audience to listen at a man of the cloth. And I'll say this, you can't say this, Dr. Drayton, but I can say it, and I don't want Ann to say it, but I'll say it. If there's one thing that I know when I was being, as a boy, and I'm 82, I'll be 83 in August, the most powerful individual in Riviera or any black community in Palm Beach County was none of the police officer. It wasn't the principal or the teacher was next, but it was always a pastor, a reverend, a man of the cloth. And more people, they had to work hard, but I guarantee you on Sunday school, the regular church service, that's when they was having night service. And then we had Red Cross, BYPU, all that stuff. That was our social life. And we always, the third Sunday at Mount Olive, we had the elderly ladies cook the cakes, and we had an old-fashioned ice cream churn. And the young guys, the boys, with the ice and the salt, we made homemade ice cream to go with that those pound cakes. They used to make them out of duck eggs. They said, I didn't know why, but they said the duck egg was richer, and it was just great. We always socialize. We did more for each other then with nothing than we're doing right now with a lot. I'm finished. Anne?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dr. Drayton, if you want to go ahead and any closing comments, and we'll wrap up the show.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. I'm humbled to be asked to come to this dialogue, and I just pray that some of the work that we've done, we've been doing at St. James, we can continue, but that we can have a greater imagination as we seek to reach more people. Some of the things that you were talking about, Ms. McNeil, financially, we've already begun to do. Matter of fact, we started doing it about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer. But we can do it. We can do a better job of it, you know. And so that enlightened me that I knew that that was something that arrests our people, financial issues as such, and we want to address some resources to it. And we just had a lot of our young people just bought into it. But we need to do it to a greater level. And we welcome that dialogue as well. So I'm just humbled to be here. And I think the greatest thing is that let us connect more to do the real work, you know, not just behind the pulpit, not just on Sunday morning. But like I said, everything that we do has to be for the community to bring transformation and change to our community. And if it's one of those pathways to empowering our people, I like to use the word empowering and learn to back away from that sometimes, because when God created us, we're the first people, the people of color, the first people. He empowered us when we created it. He created us. Other folks have tried to abate and retard that empowerment, but God has already given, empowered us. We need to walk in the empowerment that we've already been given by God from creation.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Okay, now you will be asked to come back again because of right now you're the first minister, and we sometimes take 4 to 6 weeks on the same group, lawyers, former elected officials, police officer, whatever. And it's easy for me to bring in law enforcement, not law enforcement, but athletes, because I got a handful of them. But I can't put just being an athlete in the capacity that I need to have people who are going to be in business, education. And of course, we've got to have more from the clergy, which I will be bringing in some more people from the clergy. But I want you to come back again. And I know that you and I are going to be in reference to a phone call between each other and Dr. Stanton and David Harris, because of I can't think of a better group or brotherhood than that, because David Harris was your roommate when you all were in college, and that was magnificent. Look how long ago that been.
Yeah.
I'm finished, Ann.
Okay, all right. Were you going to say something, Dr. Reid?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Say that again.
No, I thought he was going to say something else before I close up the show. Oh,
yes,
most definitely. You are so welcome.
Thank you for having me in. I'm humbled.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I need to say this here. He will be with us when we feed 602 at Stony Brook on the 22nd of this month from 1 to 4. He will be with us on the 28th when we give out scholarships for unprivileged, I don't know if that word, but they can't afford to go off to school, but we will be vetting them and going through and tell them when they get ready to go off to school, we'll send the money right to their account.
Absolutely.
And of course, all those things, it's just a reminder of you, because this is part of your program, because when you hired me without a paycheck, I automatic was going to go out and do my job because you gave me a directive. And that's what I do.
All right. Thank you so very much, Ben Calloway and Dr. Pastor Tony Drayton. Again,
beautiful.
My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, and I am so excited to have been born and raised and returning back to Riviera Beach, because like the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I had to find out and be convinced that as I travel the world, my diamond mine is in my own backyard here in Riviera Beach, and so many of us from the city and involved in the city like Dr. Drayton realize that this is one of the most beautiful, higher world, and so are the people. And so we are committing ourselves to give back to the least, the lost, and the unconcerned, and help to build entrepreneurs and a better community. With that, everybody, we'll see you next time, and have a great Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day.
All right, bye.